today on Real Radio.
Let's stop thinking that love's a feeling. It's very, very ridiculous. We start thinking, well, love is this music begins. That's how it's in the movie. The music begins, goosebumps. That's infatuation. Love comes after that. And infatuation's fine for a day or two, but love's different.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being a Christian in Your Relationships, continues a series now called Life and Bible. As Christ followers, we say we believe in God's Word and that its pages hold the answers to wisdom and understanding. But at some point, we need to move from simple understanding to a deeper knowledge of His will and put what we've learned into action. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul challenges the church to increase in the knowledge of God and to be fruitful in every good work. Previously, we looked at how this applies to our jobs. We learned that in the workforce, we are to be the best employee, manager, or owner that the company can have. Today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that Christians are to also marry a Christian. So, as we begin to date, we need to ask ourselves, does this person love God more than me? Does this person fear God? And is the life of this person anchored in the Lord? Loving is not a feeling, but a willful, deliberate decision to commit and respect that person above all others. And now in his message called Being a Christian in Your Relationships, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When people say, I can't live without you, you make me so happy, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, I've got to have you. Listen, do you know how much pressure there is? I'm the greatest thing that's happened in your life? That's right. That's too much pressure for anybody to live under. We will let you down. We will fail. But he never fails. Always, always him first. Why? Because your spouse-to-be in the future, God has ordained for you to minister to. This is key. Note this. Purpose. The Lord, listen, is this relationship, you would say, Lord, is this relationship going to honor you? If so, Lord, open the door for us to see the purpose for this relationship. Are you interested in somebody tonight? Lord, ask him, is this relationship going to glorify you, God? Is it going to be a relationship of purpose? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, listen. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness? We would say today, can oil and water mix? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Christians are to marry Christians. Why? Because marriage is a spiritual issue. Listen, when people come together and they're spiritually divided, you're setting yourself up for just a tremendous, terrible start. And most often, in fact, it's almost certain that the person who, as a Christian, violates the word of God, becomes unequally yoked with a non-believer, that non-believer almost inevitably pulls that Christian down rather than that Christian pulling that person up. There are exceptions, but they're rare. And so many times people say, well, Pastor, I don't know how I got into this relationship. I've been married 15 years. It's been miserable. Were you a Christian when you got married? Yes. Was he a Christian? No. And you have a tremendous fallout from all of that. If you're a Christian tonight, your relationships and your marriage are ministries ordained by God. Have you seen him or seen her and you're interested in them or you're dating them now or maybe you're even engaged now? Listen, that is ordained by God as a ministry. Don't you dare go into a marriage thinking that it's not going to be a ministry. See, what do you mean by this ministry thing? Well, here you go. How can I know if she's the right one for me in this ministry stuff or if he's the right one? Write this down. Number one, does she love God more than me? Or does he love God more than me? Ask. Look at their life and say, this is the person you're getting involved with now. You're really, really thinking, hey, you know, I really like them. I really want to be with them. Ask yourself this question. Does that person that I'm interested in love God more than me? Ladies and gentlemen, you want them to love God more than you? That is how they will be faithful to you. Because if they love you more than God, inevitably, okay, they will become unfaithful. because you will not be the anchor to keep them committed in a holy walk, in a faithful walk. Lisa has always told me for 31 years, married 30 years, we were engaged for a year. Lisa always said, as long as you fear God, I have total trust and confidence. She always said, as long as you fear God, I have total trust and confidence. I love that. By the way, she told me that when she was 18 years old. 18 years old. I heard that from an 18-year-old. It's like, what? That's deep. Number two, is she or is he serving the Lord? Are you interested in somebody? Yep. Are they serving the Lord? You say, why is that important? Oh, believe me, it's important. Are they serving the Lord in some capacity? Number three, are others benefited in their walk by her or by him? Do other people, are they blessed by that potential mate in their Christian walk? That's an important thing. Very, very important. I'm not making this stuff up. Number four, does his or her Christianity impress you? Can you look to the girl that you're dating or the man that you're dating or engaged to and say in your heart, in your mind, I want to be more like him or like her? And listen, if you can't say that, then just stay engaged and don't get married. But we already ordered the flowers. Don't do it. But we've got the date picked. Don't do it. Listen, wait, and ask God to speak these things to your hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, come on. This is your life we're talking about forever. Don't make the mistake. Too many Christians have made a mistake in this area. That person in your life is the one you will be serving for the rest of your life. Wow. I think I can say this. I don't think she's here tonight. My daughter, Rebecca, my oldest daughter, we were taking a tour of Israel with all of you, and for those of you who were with us on that trip, her first day, she's in the front of the bus with me. She's sicker than a dog. And we're a few hours into the tour. Okay, there's this and there's that, and we're driving along, and she starts hurling. She starts throwing up. And I'm trying to, I'm a sympathy puker. You know how that goes? I see people go and I got to go just right along with them. Let's all go. And so I'm looking away and she's sick. And if I remember right, she had a zit. She's sick. And Lisa's trying to hold her hair back. And the next thing I look over and there's a guy in the aisle holding the barf bag on the bus and saying, I'm a fire, LA County fire paramedic. Are you okay? What's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. And she's, leave me alone. I know, I want to go back to the hotel. And then, listen, at the end of the tour, we get home. The next day, he comes to the house and he says, I'm asking permission to take your daughter out. In the midst of all the chucking and all of this, you what? And he goes, yeah, I'm serious. Well, they've been married, I think, 3 or 3.5 years now. Listen, but how'd she look? She looked terrible. In her own words, I had a zit, I was throwing up. Listen, he came and got on his knees and held a barf bag. And listen, if you can find a mate that way, you say, yeah, but it was the Holy Land. Listen, miracles happen there. They happen everywhere. I'm dead serious. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Being a Christian and finding your mate, thirdly, mark it down. It's a matter of making up your mind. Now, let's just all grow up. I mean that lovingly. Let's just grow up. Let's stop thinking that love's a feeling. It's very, very ridiculous. We start thinking, well, love is this music begins. That's how it's in the movie. The music begins, goosebumps, and everything, you know. Listen, that's infatuation. Love comes after that. And infatuation's fine for a day or two. But love's different. We got to decide to make up our minds. This word applies. Discipline. We need to discipline our minds. Mark this. Lord, is this relationship from you? If so, then cause us to see you in it at all times. If not, then dissolve this relationship in an honorable way. And God will do that. If there are two Christians who think they're meant for each other and it doesn't work out, God, that doesn't have to be bloody and ugly and mean and nasty. That's wrong. It's not Christian. If God doesn't want it, it can dissolve peaceably and lovingly in the Lord. Very important. But if it's from him, he'll confirm it. Now mark this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many of you know that that's in the Bible? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just do it. Okay, here it goes. And lean not to your own understanding or your boyfriend or girlfriends that you know. Hey, John, what do you think about her? Forget what John thinks about her. What does God think about her? Susie, do you think he's cute? What do you think? Forget what Susie has to say. What is God saying to you about him? Very important. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will, the Lord, will direct your path. This is awesome promise of God. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Like everything meaningful in life, it's going to take a decision. You will decide, I'm going to do this. Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. It's a commandment. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Church, listen, that's a decision we make. I will obey his command. And what is it? To love one another. This is important. Love, marriage, is a willful, deliberate decision. It's not a feeling or an emotion or a concept. You see, you've heard some people be in love with the idea of marriage. That's not love. Love is this person I'm attracted to. Now this person, we've got things in common. We've got things, we're growing together. I respect him. I respect her. This is a person that I want to possibly live the rest of my life with. We're en route further to what's going to become of this relationship. And you make a willful decision. And for some reason, women understand this more than men. And that is, that's it. I've made that commitment. It's a decision. You'll not hear this from Hollywood. You're not going to read it in any tabloids or romance novels. It is a decision rather than the way the world would have it to be painted. It's a discipline of mind. This is a man. This is a woman. I do not want to get away. They're that important. But once that commitment is made and marriage is en route, it's to be kept and honored and invested in and maintained. Point number two tonight is this: being a Christian in your relationships, being a Christian and being the love of their life. Being the love of their life. Remember Tina Turner saying, what's love got to do with it? Remember that? Anybody in here? Old? Like Tina Turner? Old? She's saying, what's love got to do with it? I'm not going to sing it, but what's love but a secondhand emotion? Tina Turner does not know anything about what love is. It's not an emotion. Love is a willful decision that this is what I'm going to do. And when you make the decision, and I know, listen, when you have that understanding, this is the love of my life, guess what? There is the risk of getting hurt. That's life. Talk to Jesus about that. He loved you so much and got crucified for it. And you and I didn't love him right at the outset, did we? We put him through a lot of grief. Love is alive, it's vulnerable, but love is also very powerful. And these three things we need to know about it. Being the love of their life. If you're going to get married, listen, both of you together need to be the love of each other's life. Okay, and you can observe that, and here it is. It means that you respect them above all others. This is important. You can see how much somebody in a relationship respects the other. It's seen by how you treat them. How is your possible wife or husband treated by you? Secondly, it can be observed by how you hear them talk to them. How do they talk? If they say things like, what's wrong with you? And are you a lame whatever? And what do you think? You're going to get married and it's all going to go away? Do you think it's going to get better when you get married? No. How do they talk to? And it's very, very important. By the way, the definition of respect in the English version of the Bible appears as honor them, to prize them, to hold them in high regard. Listen to this. It means to hold them to the light, to hold them up to the light. But the definition of that's different than what you're thinking. You mean hold them to the light so I can see all the flaws in their character and all that stuff? Nope. It means hold them to the light that, listen, between you and the Lord is this person that you've given your heart to, and you simply see their silhouette. You don't see their faults, you just see them. Isn't that beautiful? Because you've presented them to the Lord. You've held them up in the right light to see them as God sees them. And in the context of being single, as we're talking about tonight, to respect them. You cannot separate respect for somebody when you're single and sexual temptation. Sexual temptation and respect, they go hand in hand. If you're attracted to them, it's natural that you're going to be sexually tempted regarding them. What do you do about that? This is very important. Sexual temptation is is a woman's personal battle to take to the Lord. The culture, the world that you and I live in, if someone's tempted, they say, hey, babe, I want you. Like they're under obligation. Oh, you must be tempted. That's right. Well, listen, head to the showers, dude. Get out of town. Listen, go take a jog. What's the deal? No, our culture, it's all now. It's pleasure seeking. It's very hedonistic. It's carnal, and it's I want it, and I want it now. Listen, zero respect toward that person that's being demanded. Zero. Young ladies, listen, zero. That guy is, I'm trying to be careful, that guy is listening to the wrong voice. There's hormones talking. And when you yield to the hormones screaming versus her sanctity and the respect of her, then listen, you've just showed the value or the devalue of her in your heart. And any man or any woman that gets that where, hey, come on. And if you say, no, I'm going to save myself for marriage because I want my marriage to succeed and I want to have nobody else's face in my mind when you and I are together for the rest of our lives. I want you and you only. If they say, what? What are you, some kind of a weirdo? Listen, it's time for you to say, thank you so much. Thank you. You are not for me. I'm dead serious. Listen, girls, I wish there were just girls in here right now. I'm telling you something right now. I'd tell you some secrets. The guy who loves you, he can be tempted and he can be pulling his hair out, but he won't touch you. He'll go, oh, bink, bink, bink. Right. In fact, young lady, you should be blessed by his torment over this issue because he respects you so much that he honors you over his own demands. And the world has got it upside down and people are broken. And you can say to me tonight, Jack, you're nuts. I'm just going to do my own thing. All right, come back in 3 years. Tell me how you're doing. I'm dead serious. I'm an old guy now. Been married 30 years. Look, I can tell you this. I'm going to get paid if you listen to me or not. But listen to me on this. If I respect my date that I'm out with, I'll never violate her or him to satisfy my own temptation. Man, I tell you, read the Song of Solomon if you're old enough. That is one hot book. And she's getting all excited. She is getting excited. And you know what Solomon says? He says, calm down, sweetie. Calm down. Do not awaken love until it pleases or till it's the right time. Now, listen, you need to just go home. He tells her, you just need to go take a shower, young lady. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. A woman should be so protected that if she's tempted, you're her protection, not her vandalizer. If she says to you, you know what? I am going crazy right now. You're the cutest thing in the world and you're just so spiritually wonderful and I just love, oh man. Oh, don't awaken love, sweetie, until it's the right time. Some guys are writing that down. That's a great thing to. No. Dead serious. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, for this is the will of God. Your sanctification, that means you belong to God. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. He told the church at Thessalonica, stop messing around. God's will for you now is to stop messing around. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, that's their body parts, private parts, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles or non-believers do who don't know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother or sister in this matter. The matter being sexual issues and conduct. Do you really love him? Then listen, when you see him freaking out, help him out by saying, listen, let's just part ways. I'll call you tomorrow. And, you know, If you see her, listen, help her. But never, never, God says, don't take your body and commit it to sexual immorality. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Also this, being the love of their life means that we, listen, that we submit to them above all others. Hello? Submit. People get all nervous about this word. Submit. Oh, I'll do a wedding and I'll recite the vows. And I've done enough weddings now that when I'm doing the thing and I'm doing the vows, I'll look out in the audience. And do you today vow to submit to him? And before I even get the next line out, as he submits to Christ, they don't even let me get that far. The women in the service, they're going, what? Submit? Listen, there's a reason why God said this. By the way, when a woman has a man in her life who really, really loves her and she knows it, guess what? You never have to bring up the word submit, because she goes like this. And you say, what do you want to do tonight, sweetie? What do you want to do? Whatever you want to do. And you know what? For some of you have been burned beyond crisp and you're all torched out and hurt from throwing your relationships away, you're saying, that's ridiculous. I understand your response. That's because you've done it wrong all this time and you're all hurt. So you think, I'm not going to put my heart out there on the table again. And that's a tough thing to overcome, but in Christ, you can overcome that. But because of your silly decisions, don't think the word of God is null and void. No, God's got it down. And when a man really loves a woman, she will know it. And I have yet to see a woman who's loved like that. I've never seen her say, when he speaks to her and says, hey, you know, sweetie, let's this and let's that. She will always go along with it because she knows he's talking to God and he loves her and she relaxes. And by the way, this is not in the study, it'll be for next week, but here's the deal. When a woman's loved like that, and she submits to her husband, listen, she will grow and go become a woman that she could never have been any otherwise because God engineered it that way. A good, precious husband who loves his wife, she's excited to submit to him. And listen, here's the deal. Wives, submit to your husbands. The word means to watch, to go down to or to bow down to in submission. Again, you're saying, listen, how quiet it is in here. See? But listen, never lose picture of this. I should have drawn a cartoon tonight so you had it. If he lifts her up and extols her high and loves her like she needs to be loved, guess what? She's got to bow down to him just to get eye level with him because she's so high up. She comes down at eye level because he keeps lifting her up. You have a woman like that in your life and she will grow and go become the woman of God that he's made her to be, and you'll be the happiest man on the planet. Trust me, I'm telling you now. It's amazing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called Being a Christian in Your Relationships. We're so glad you joined us today, and when we commit ourselves to the Lord and honor others above ourselves, both our marriages and our relationships, well, they're going to prosper. Being a Christian in your relationships, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as important as relationships are, the most important relationship of all is the one we have with Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let us help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the tab there that says Know God. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack guides you through what a commitment to Jesus Christ actually involves and where you can go from here. We also want to know if you've made the decision to follow Jesus Christ or if you've got a few more questions and concerns. We want you to fully understand the love that Jesus is offering to you for free, no matter where you are, no matter who you are. It's all right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, under the Know God tab. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.